Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.
Former Sports Minister Mustapha Yusif and 11 others charged on multiple counts of engaging in what many describe as brazen thievery of the state funds to the tune of over 548 million cedis through dubious schemes employed to siphon monies meant for gold service. And this allegation, people say, are now alleged because they've not been proven.
To the present, having provided this factual background, our position is clear that these persons are reasonably suspected to have committed crimes and shall be charged accordingly with the following crimes. Our position is clear that these persons are reasonably suspected to have committed crimes and shall be charged accordingly with the following crimes: stealing, conspiracy to steal, willfully causing financial loss to the state, using public office for profit, obtaining public property by false statements, and conspiracy to commit money laundering.
We have details of these and more here on Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies. Well, tonight, the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine, has announced the prosecution of 12 former executives and directors of the National Service Authority on multiple counts of stealing and financial misappropriation. The charges stem from a wide-ranging investigation that uncovered a sophisticated scheme involving the creation of over 63,000 ghost names on the National Service payroll. According to Dr. Ayine, the accused individuals orchestrated a systematic diversion of service allowances intended for legitimate National Service personnel. Now, these funds, totaling over 548 million cedis, were fraudulently claimed using non-existent service personnel records and ghost names inserted into the system under the supervision of direct involvement of the accused. Now, the Attorney General disclosed that part of the stolen funds was channeled through accounts at the Agricultural Development Bank, where the money was later withdrawn diverted into private account linked to the suspect. Listen to him.
Never established that Eric Nyako, from 2017 until April 2024, and Idrisu Ibn Abubakar, April 2024 to December 2024, were responsible for preparing and transmitting NSP payroll data to GIPS for payment of allowances with the approval of the former NSA Director General, Mustapha Yusuf, who is now an MP, Gifty Owari Abuaji, from February 2021 to September 2021, and Osei General, Mustapha Yusuf, who is now. Investigations, however, established that Eric Nyako, from 2017 until April 2024, and Idrisu Ibn Abubakar, April 2024 to December 2024, were responsible for preparing and transmitting NSP payroll data to GIPS for payment of allowances with the approval of the former NSA Director General, Mustafa Yusuf, who is now an MP, Gifty Oware Abuaji, acting from February 2021 to September 2021, and Osel Sibe Enchwe, September 2021 to January 2025. Without their explicit authority, nothing was possible. In other words, all these transfers could not have taken place without the authorization of the chief executive officers and or the director general, depending on the nomenclature that was used to describe their roles. In the 2022-2023 service year, a total of 8,256,000 Ghana cedis was deposited into an Eastwich account numbered 11770420 59, which is registered in the name of suspect Osei Asibe. Investigations show that he personally received these funds. During a search at his residence, the aforementioned Eastwich card was found, and we intend to tender it in evidence during the course of the trial.
So that is the Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayine. My colleague Kenneth Jesse was at this news conference and joins me in studio with details into this. Kenneth, first, he named people who have been charged. Who are they?
Indeed, he's already mentioned about two of them. That is Mustafa Yusuf, who is a former sports minister and also, once upon a time, a former executive director. And then also there's Gifty Oware Mensah, who is a former deputy executive director, who was at a point the acting executive director of the service. We also have Osei Asigbe Enchi, who has also been a director general of the National Service Authority.
Having concluded our investigations, we'll be filing charges against 12 suspects who worked as directors and staff of the NSA. I've already listed them, but for the abundance of doubt, let me mention them again. These are Mustafa Yusuf, a former executive director, Osei Asibe Enchi, former director general, Gifty Oware Mensah, former deputy executive director, Kweku Ohinijan, former deputy executive director for operations, Abraham Bismarck Gezi, former internal auditor, Kweku Dechi Eje, an accounts officer, Edrusu Ibn Abubakar, former head of accounts, Stephen Kobina Jemfi, who is, I've asked that he should be rearrested because we've discovered some new accounts that, contain some deposits. And so he was picked up this morning. So he is currently he's undergoing further interrogation. He's the Koforidua director. Then Prince Agofa Ewuku, a district director, and Jacob Yorsin, Management Information Systems Administrator in the Northern Region. We will also file charges against the following persons who are vendors on the marketplace on the central management system of the NSA in the Eastern, Greater Accra, and Ashanti regions. Isaac Osei Asamani, the owner of Stalwart Option Buy Ventures. Charles Ohomining, the owner of GH Ohek Ventures. Philomena Arthur, the owner of Brainwave Ventures. Rose Hamilton, the owner of Marine Ventures. Kweku Opare Agofa, the owner of Franlisa Ventures. Solomon Jamina, the owner of Afarita Ventures. Haruna Mawulaya, the owner of Alfida Enterprise. Sylvia Ntriwa Opare, the owner of Silsona Ventures. And then Peter Mensah, a legal practitioner and the husband of Gifty Oware Mensah.
Well, quite a list of people who have been charged by the Attorney General there. But Kenneth, he again says he's charging them on several counts of stealing. Tell
indeed. Well, stealing is number one. Conspiracy to steal is also another one. And there are five other related offenses that he mentioned.
To the present. Having provided this factual background, our position is clear that these persons are reasonably suspected to have committed crimes and shall be charged accordingly with the following crimes. Stealing, contrary to Section 1241 of the Criminal Offences Act 1960 Act 29. Conspiracy to steal,
contrary to sections 23(1) and 124(1) of the Criminal and Other Offences Act, willfully causing financial loss to the state, contrary to section 179A(3)(a) of the Criminal and Other Offences Act, using public office for profit, contrary to section 179CA of the Criminal and Other Offences Act, obtaining public property by false statements, contrary to section 5 of the Public Property Protection Decree 1977, SMCD 140, money laundering, contrary to section 1, subsection 2C of the Anti-Money Laundering Act 2020, Act 1044, and conspiracy to commit money laundering, contrary to section 3 of the Anti-Money Laundering Act 2020, Act 1020.
This is Top Story, brought to you by Telcel Connecting Energies. Let's bring in now Kweku Krobia Asante. He is Programs Manager, Independent Journalism Project, the Media Foundation for West Africa. We'll also be joined by Edem Sedanu. He is an anti-corruption campaigner. And we'll also be joined by Dr. Osai Kwapon. He is a fellow at CDD and is a governance person. We'll look at that side of the debate as well. But let me start with you, Kweku Krobia Asante, because you and your team first broke this particular story. How deep does this go?
Well, thank you very much. When we published our story, we had indicated that this was running very deep, right from the top and deep down, even to the point of where people who are not even staff of the NSA were all party to this, vendors, family members, and all things like that, were things that we indicated, one, in the stories that we published, and two, in the petitions that we presented to the Office of the Special Prosecution and the oral team.
But if you listen to the Attorney General, from the work you've done and from what the oral has been able to do, do you think there is more to this, or this is all we should be hearing?
Well, I think that there could be more that eventually, even as they start the prosecution, eventually could come out. The AG has showed us at least the extent. For us, it's not even so much about how much money, but how deep this thing was running, you know, and how much, you know, was also moving around, and, you know, all those who were involved. So I'm not sure if, as you say, more would come or less would come, but the point is that this buttresses the point, or sort of affirms our position right from the beginning, that there's so much work happening at the National Service Authority, and we needed to pay much attention to address them.
Did you ever come across a situation where someone flagged what was happening, but nobody acted on it?
Not really. You know, the National Service Secretariat back then itself, at some point around the 2012, 2011, there was actually a body of investigations like that at the time. Since then, we have never really seen, and our investigations did not also show that there had been some form of investigation, you know, so-called, that raised concerns. So it's been a place where, year in, year out, you know, officers, people who are leading in, people who are, you know, working across different sectors or offices around there, have used as a cash cow to make themselves, to enrich themselves, to use it for many other things.
Kwaku, I'm grateful to you, and thanks for that work that you and your team did there. Let me bring in Edem Sedanu, and now he's an anti-corruption campaigner. Edem, I'm grateful to you for agreeing to speak to us. If you listen to the NSS scandal from the start, does what we're hearing now sit in what you were expecting to hear from this oral investigation with regards to this NSS scandal?
Well, Well, I cannot say that we anticipated this scope of involvement and criminality. It beats my imagination that a group of people could so intentionally work together to defraud the state. And so that's shocking. We did know, based on the initial findings, as reported, that clearly there were some underhand dealings, but not the extent of criminality in terms of planning and execution, creating accounts, businesses, having vendors. This really goes far beyond what one would have expected.
What must be the next critical step that must be taken beyond prosecution?
I think we need to ask ourselves how our systems failed to this extent. It is good to retrieve as much of the resources. It is good to sanction every form of criminality, but much more critical to make sure that we don't find ourselves here in a couple of months or years is, where are the internal audit systems? What kind of external audit systems, independent of this institution, were supposed to have happened either annually or otherwise? How did we fail to see these signs and follow up on them much earlier? I think that's a substantive question, because then what you want to do is, if we have such weaknesses, systemic weaknesses, we need to make sure that in all other sectors, we are cross-checking to see these weaknesses there. How do we correct them? Is it the case that some circuit supervisors should have been checking randomly on whether these NSS personnel actually exist? Should external auditors have done some sampling randomly, taking phone numbers, ask someone to go and physically check? What are the things we ought to have done to have prevented this? And how can we mainstream a solution that reduces the risk of this happening again?
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The future, if it is not happening right now in other sectors.
So who must bear the ultimate responsibility in all of this? Because the boss of the authority itself has been named here, all the way to the people down there. So who carries the ultimate responsibility of ensuring that this will not happen again?
That's where I think that the external auditing system, independent external auditing, is what is most likely to have identified, uncovered, and sought to arrest this. Because if you're right to the top, you are part of the criminality, then clearly they would have put in place, as the case is, they knew what would ordinarily be checked, whether it's a national ID, so they got real national IDs and used them, etc., etc. That's where the value of independent audits are important. And so perhaps we should ask the Auditor General how much more frequently they can do these kind of random forensic audits across sectors to serve as a deterrent. And when we've exposed these things, we should give it as much publicity as is being done right now, so that many more people are aware that you can't get away with this kind of action.
Kindly stay with me. Let me bring in Dr. John Osaikopon. He is a Democracy and Development Fellow at CDD Ghana. Doc, grateful to you for joining here. One of the conversations that have come up beyond this is the sentiment that the democracy of Ghana is at a major risk, depending on how this particular matter is handled. We can look at this last year's CDD report that talks about the lack of trust in the democracy. What must this teach us, and how do we approach this such that we don't lose the trust as we see happening?
Thank you very much. Accountability is extremely important, and the ability of the system to ensure that these alleged acts of corruption in public office, that those who have been named, whilst guaranteeing their due process, that you get them to provide adequate answers, and where the Attorney General is able to prove that criminal offences and criminal conduct occurred, that you want your citizens, you want it punished and punished adequately. You want the punishment to go to face the crime. Because at the end of the day, you don't want your citizens to start feeling like the democracy is not serving the needs of all citizens, but rather it has become, our democratic politics has become a route or a vehicle for quote unquote.
But let's try to reconnect the line with you so we can have a better connection. You're making a good point, but we're not able to follow because of the lines. But let me try again. Doc, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, let's try. You're making a point about how we can save the democracy.
Yes, I was saying that when you look at the level of charges, the quantum of money involved in these allegations and the charges that are being preferred against these 12 suspects, you want to make sure that ultimately they are held accountable for these actions as the process goes through and the Attorney General is able to prove that all of these infractions occurred. Because the last thing you don't want to start happening is for citizens to start feeling like our democratic politics is not about addressing the everyday needs of ordinary citizens in Ghana, but rather it is there to serve the interest of, you know, of a few. If you are not careful, it has the potential to chip away at the trust and confidence that we have in our democratic system. The other point I also want to make is that when you look at the Afrobarometer survey, there's a question about how often do you think ordinary people go unpunished when they commit crimes? And then there's a similar question that says, how often do you think officials who commit crimes go unpunished? And the gap is huge, which means that citizens, again, feel like our democracy tend to punish ordinary citizens for crimes committed as opposed to those in official positions. So again, when these charges, if these charges are proven beyond a reasonable doubt by the Attorney General, citizens would want to see that officials are being held accountable, so it doesn't reinforce this emerging narrative that the system only punishes ordinary people but then sets free officials who are shown to have committed some crimes whilst in office.
But what if those officials are able to put up, you know, arguments that the courts will uphold to say, yes, the prosecution has not been able to prove your guiltiness and therefore we have to set you free?
That is also how institutions are designed to work, and that's why we also have due process. Right? The former president, Akufo-Addo, would always say that not until you are in trouble, you would never appreciate the importance of due process. So we'll let due process play out, and we'll let the institution weigh all of the evidence against all of the defense that these accused persons have a right to put up. And when all is said and done, we trust that the institutions will do the right thing. Again, as they tend to say in legal circles, justice must not only be done, but it also must be seen to have been done. So again, when all is said and done, whichever way the courts arrive at as to the guilt or otherwise of these accused persons, it is also one of the outcomes of the way institutions are designed to work, and we would have to respect that.
Stay with me. Let me bring in Adam Senano again. Adam Senano, so does this open the floodgates for us to begin auditing the lifestyles of public officials?
No, not by itself. I mean, we still need to have some proper legal framework that allows lifestyle auditing to be done. At the moment, there's a small portion of the EOCO law that suggests that if you have assets or resources that you cannot legitimately prove a source for. show that you earned, it should be considered as criminal proceeds and it can be seized. But beyond that, we don't have a proper lifestyle audit regime or illicit enrichment regime. And so that's something that is urgently needed. And perhaps looking at the Conduct of Public Officers Bill and making sure we finalize and pass it is one of the ways to remedy that current lacuna.
Adam, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. But before I let you go, what would be your suggestion to how authorities must handle this so that it can engender the trust in the process, as we all see at the end, everybody can believe in the outcome of this process?
Well, so far, I think, again, is the Afrobarometer data that tells us that the two reasons why citizens say they will not be further reporting is, one, because they don't think anything will change, and two, they anticipate a backlash, as in the criminals getting to know who they are and hitting back at them. I think so far, Oral has avoided of branding because there has been that clear-cut effort to follow up on the reports. And so to the extent that the AGs and other anti-corrupt agencies take up the various reports that are made, to the extent that persons are found culpable and we can see that they are being sanctioned, I think that will engender a lot more support. I've heard the Deputy Attorney General say that people are still walking in with documentation and evidence. We suggest that the current approach of keeping the public informed is engendering a lot more support, and hopefully that will continue to be the case.
Okay, I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Adam Senanu is an anti-corruption campaigner. Dr. John Asakwapo is still there. Doc, is Oral probably acting as a key to engender trust in our democracy?
It has a key role to play, especially if it delivers on certain key outcomes, right? So if Oral One is able to uncover all allegations of improper conduct, plus is able to move forward and hold people accountable, then it, for me, has the potential to say to us that the system, our democratic system, still has the capability of holding persons accountable. I think the only challenge that Oral faces is that because it is post-regime accountability, it becomes vulnerable to, you know, our partisan back and forth, which is the usual, it's a witch hunt, you're prosecuting people, etc., etc. But having said all of that, you know, putting away those political vulnerabilities in terms of our partisan approach to everything, I believe that if Oral is able to deliver what it is designed to do, that it does have that potential to restore and strengthen faith in our democratic institutions of accountability. It says to us that there is still a way to hold persons accountable, even if it means we have to wait for a turnover election to engage in post-regime accountability.
And I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. Dr. John Osaikwapo is Democracy and Development Fellow at CDD Ghana. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies. Up next is Ghana Connect with Papani Ashali. Good evening.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.